Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tortoise. A few years back, I admitted that David Cameron had been stalking my night thoughts. In the small hours, the no man's land of consciousness when those fears and furies come to visit, I'd found myself ranting at him over Brexit. How could he have been so stupid? How could he still not admit that he had been wrong? Wrong not to lose the Remain vote, but wrong to have called the referendum in the first place. Sooner or later, of course, I'd drift away from this argument with a political ghost and fall back asleep. Brexit would still be there in the morning. This week, though, in the light of day, I've been thinking about David Cameron again. Not the catastrophic end to his premiership, but the fact that he is proving such a success as Foreign Secretary. On Israel, Gaza and Ukraine, he has been tireless, astute and principled. And that's prompted a run of thoughts. One is that in reporting on politics, unlike sports commentary or arts coverage, we rarely say, well done. Another is that having the Foreign Secretary in the House of Lords is perhaps not such a bad thing. The conventional wisdom of MPs and the Westminster Press Pack is that Cabinet Ministers must be in the Commons, answerable to Parliament. But Lord Cameron doesn't get called back for parliamentary votes, nor does he have much of a role to play in Conservative Party plotting. In other words, he can devote his time and energy to the job. He's looking more like a US Secretary of State representing his country and the world than a traditional British Foreign Secretary, an MP playing domestic politics on and off a plane. And you've got to wonder, what will Labour make of his example? This week, one person who works closely with Keir Starmer and his team suggested to me that they've started to ask what role, if any, there might be for Gordon Brown. And if you follow that logic, you begin to ask whether British government might be better run if it were closer to the US model. If ministers weren't all MPs, but there might be more prime ministerial appointees who brought experience, status and skill to the difficult job of running government departments. In other words, Cameron's turn as Foreign Secretary hasn't redeemed his reputation for Brexit, but it has made me think again, not just about him, but about politics and political coverage. I'm James Harding, I'm the editor and founder of Tortoise. In this week's editor's voicemail, I want to give a couple of examples of why I think that we don't question political customs and conventional thinking nearly enough. That for us, this year's political coverage should be much more about choices than votes. This week we've seen the IMF offer a pathetic forecast for future UK growth, 0.5%. It's not the worst in the West, but it's not going to lift this country out of a weary sense of structural decline and daily grind. Two-thirds of people in the UK think the country is heading in the wrong direction. About 15% of people say it's going in the right direction. And yet Britain's political arguments seem either superficial, Angela Rayner's housing registration, the Rwanda deportation plan, Liz Truss's magical thinking, all those arguments just seem conventional. There's so much agreement on debt ceilings, spending limits, constitutional arrangements. And surely this election year could and should be a reckoning for Britain, both with its recent past and its established political thinking. So far, it's not. Here are a couple of examples. I've been thinking a fair bit about the record of Michael Gove recently. And there are, if you like, two views inside the Conservative Party of Gove's 14-year record in government. One, if you like, the George Osborne view is that he was a pioneering Secretary of State, both in education and justice, but then shot himself and the country in the foot by being the champion of Brexit and holding open the door to Boris Johnson's leadership of the Vote Leave cause. The other view is that Gove's record in government was undone by Osborne and by austerity, the other Conservative policy choice that has been as damaging as Brexit, but not nearly as criticised or scrutinised. Austerity, so this argument goes, meant that Gove was sent forth to rethink schools and courts, only to have the resources pulled from the funding of his reforms. What's so odd in this election year is that both of these policies, Brexit and austerity, the two defining decisions of 14 years of Conservative-led government, are not really debated. Labour's answer to both is meh. Take a subject that's related, the fiscal rules, aka the limit the government sets on borrowing, spending and taxing over the course of the Parliament. You might call them the country's household budget. Serious economists and policymakers so often say the rules are, to quote one that I spoke to this week, silly. They're self-defeating. They deter public investment and arguably hold back growth even more than they keep a lid on borrowing. It makes no sense for the UK to stick at a ratio of debt to GDP of just under 100% when everywhere we look, it's clear the country needs investment in infrastructure, clean energy, schools, universities. These things need public funding, but that spending is going to deliver a return and encourage more private investment. Labour has hinted at thinking about the government's net worth, i.e. borrowing against the national balance sheet of assets. But so far, that's just airy thinking. When pressed, Labour promises to match Conservative commitments on the overall level of tax, borrowing and spending. Keir Starmer, Rachel Reeves and the Labour Party's response to Jeremy Hunt's fiscal rules is in effect, me too. Thinking again. It's surely time for Britain to think again. Setting aside conventions and fixed positions is liberating and invigorating. The country needs not just new people with fresh energy, but surely some different ideas. A changing of the guard is coming to the UK. John Curtis, the greatest British sophologist and the host of Tortoise's Trendy podcast, says there's a 99% chance of a Labour victory. David Cameron is not going to be on the scene for much longer. And the closer we get to the election, the more I wish we were getting ambitious, articulated alternatives from Keir Starmer and Rachel Reeves. There won't be time for much thinking when the job starts in earnest in Downing Street. And I'm beginning to worry that before too long, come 3 o'clock in the morning, those night thoughts are going to be populated by the two of them. I'm going to be muttering and mumbling at Keir Starmer and Rachel Reeves.
Tortoise. Hello, it's Tomini from Tortoise. This podcast is sponsored by EY. Safe, efficient and reliable railways help to keep us all connected, thanks to Network Rail. Yet, maintenance on the railways is a risky and sometimes fatal business. At Network Rail, two previous attempts to invigorate its track worker safety programs had failed, leaving employees feeling sceptical that the organisation could ever get railway safety right. Since 2019, EY teams have worked with Network Rail to deliver a transformation that improved safety protocols and changed employee behaviour around safety. Network Rail RailHub, a new digital safety platform and app, eliminated inaccurate paper trails and worked offline, so it could be used by workers in remote locations. Since the platform was introduced, near misses affecting maintenance workers on the railways have fallen by 40%. Read the full story at ey.com.
I'm David Baddiel. I'm a writer and a comedian and a Jew.
I'm Saeeda Varsi. I'm a businesswoman and a politician and a Muslim.
Jews and Muslims always seem to be in the news or on the news. Lots of people talk about us, and this is us talking about ourselves.
The kind of things that people say don't touch, yeah. We are going to go there.
I mean, I think Jews and Muslims are talking about these things, but I think they're not talking about them together because they're worried that if they do, sparks might fly. A Muslim and a Jew go there.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts.